Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
But in the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 1st to the 3rd verses, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway you will find an ass tied and a colt tied with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." An ass, as you know, is a donkey, a hoofed mammal of the horse family with a braying call, typically smaller than a horse and with longer ears. Or when it refers to a human being, it's a stupid or foolish person. A colt is a young, uncastrated male horse, in particular, one less than 4 years old. A young colt. He's not castrated, but he's tied. And if any man, Jesus said, says anything to you about your untying the ass and the colt, tell them, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. That means whoever has them tied, once they know that the Lord has need of them, they are in the valley of decision. Will you hold what you have tied, or will you, in obedience to God, send them to the Lord who seeks them? So the colt and the ass are tied. So Jesus asked the disciples to untie them. That tie means, brothers and sisters, that you are belonging to someone or something that you are tied to, and you have to be freed from that tie. So Jesus knew that he could be charged with interfering with another man's property. So he told them, if any man asked you what you are doing, tell them, the master has come and has need of them. But that's interesting, because those who have you tied think that they are the master, and they want you to believe that they are the master. But a greater master is on the scene now, and he is telling his disciples to untie you. And if your present master has anything to say, tell them. The real master, God himself, has come, and he desires to give you a chance to make a great nation and a great new world out of the ass and the colt. This scripture is showing that the master wanted both the unlearned and the learned, because these were the people of his choice. It's interesting that the donkey is the symbol of the Democratic Party, and we are tied to that party, and maybe we need to be untied. For we are like the ass. We are less intelligent than the colt. We acting very foolishly and even sometimes stupid, begging for a job, begging for this, begging for that. That is the sound of the ass. And in the Quran it says the most hateful sound with God is the braying of an ass. And when you cry out, give me a job, give me justice, instead of saying, let me go that I might build a great future for myself and our people.
The Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and we are live at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. Log in again, blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places, or call in. Participate in our lively and enlightening discussions. All of our discussions are currently centered around the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you just heard an excerpt from the latest lecture in this series, and we will be discussing it this evening. So you can call and listen or talk with us, and feel free. All are welcome to share their comments and to share their views. We are also blessed to be streaming live in Waterloo, Iowa on WKBOL 100.1 FM, joining a list of distinguished shows that air weekly, including the Time series. It airs Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central and also on Friday at 11:30 a.m., Torchlight airs, hosted by Brother Michael Muhammad. So please check out WKBOL at 100.1 FM, and greetings to you in Waterloo, Iowa. And, of course, as I announced, we are engaged in a very powerful and profound analysis of the time and what must be done, and also of the activities of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as well as the events and news that are occurring in this turbulent hour. We have not yet gotten confirmation, but be it the will of Allah, next week on a special edition of Elevated Places, our guest will be Dr. Wesley Muhammad, one of the most powerful scholars really around the globe today. So I am very pleased, as always, to be joined by a brilliant young brother and one who understands the value of moving about in the land, as the Holy Quran teaches us, that we should go through the earth and around the earth seeking knowledge. And he has been blessed to be in the company and presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on so many of these most recent, just legendary events that are taking place and are the manifestation of the prophetic time of the exodus of the black man and woman from the land of slavery. And I want to say, Brother Terrence Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, and it's good to have you on Elevated Places.
Well, alaikum salam, and it's a wonderful being back settled and back on the show.
Yes, sir. And before you share with us a very exciting experience you had this past week, I want to also welcome to the discussion another brilliant mind and our Elevated Places contributor and analysis. He's also our Minister of Agriculture for the Nation of Islam, and he is a member of our research department who hosts his own show on Blog Talk Radio on Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, actually following right after the time and what must be done. And he addresses, he and his brilliant wife, Sister Ann Muhammad, the most fundamental aspect of independence, which is acquisition and control of land and the food we eat. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Rizvi Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Minister Ava Muhammad and my traveling brother, Terrence Muhammad.
All right. This is great to be with you all once again. What a blessing to make it back. Well, Brother Terrence, let's talk a little bit about what transpired since the last episode of Elevated Places.
Oh, well, you know, it is, I don't know where to start. So let's start in a couple of different places. You know, in the world news, I first just got to go, you know, top of the clock with our president, President Obama, who made a trip to North Carolina today, to Charlotte, North Carolina. But not just talking about President Obama, but talking about his Chicago wife, because she was just in the news and a heckler tried to hecker her while she was speaking. And she was like, I don't do this, and walked away from the podium and showed the beautiful blackness of a sister coming out. Like, you know, my husband may be to deal with this, but I'm not the one. So I love my first lady. She was just letting them know. She came back to the podium and she said, I'm just not the one to do the heckling. So you can check that out on USA Today. So it was wonderful to see our sister, Michelle Obama. You know, I do want to get right into this discussion tonight, but I can't, and I will be remiss. Just thank, you know, Allah for being in the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and for the first time in my life, witnessed and went through a hurricane in Spanish Lake, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis, at where I was working as staff for a captain's retreat, and the winds blew around where we were. I called in Thursday night, but I didn't know the next night that while we was meeting, that the wind started to blow, and then when the wind stopped blowing, that trees were uprooted and trees were all down, and houses had garages crushed, hotels had their roof collapsed, and the winds had just uprooted a 100-year-old tree where we were. And still, we heard from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. St. Louis was packed to the rim. In St. Louis on Sunday, hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as you stated on Sunday, and people, let me go back and say, please go to avaspeaks.com and get some of her lectures, and you can tweet her at Dr. Ava Muhammad, because on Sunday you can go to noi.org/webcast and see the broadcast from Sunday where she knocked it out the box. Knocked it straight out the box. And I bring that up because her lecture was so powerful that we can talk about tonight. But she made the point of the minister mentioning how the people came on the speaker while he was in the hotel teaching at his dinner table, and the winds and the tornado was coming. And he said, I'm eating, I'm teaching at my dinner table. You can eat fast and go in the hallway if you want. But he just proved and let people know that God is backing me, and I know who controls the weather. So I have no fear, as he sat with his back to the window in the midst of a tornado. That's the brother I follow under his guidance.
Right.
Who also, you would be remiss as I get ready to close to not miss an episode, and if you have missed any episodes of The Time and What Must Be Done, go to noi.org/The Time and watch the series The Time and What Must Be Done, all 21 so far, and 22 is coming up Saturday. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he did in D.C. on the Rock Newman Show, called for a showdown. He even said, leave Billy Graham alone. Leave him alone. If you want somebody to come after me, because I didn't do it privately in an Oval Office that got released years later. I'm saying it to you right now. So Abraham Foxman of the ADL, come after me. And it's funny that he called out at that show the Southern Poverty Law Center. And on next week, you might want to watch the news. Because the minister will not, has not stopped. He's not, see, one thing people don't know, and I'm sorry for taking so much time, but I got to say that we are civil rights people. You know, they say the nation, we are civil rights and nonviolent. We want to be civil, and we are civilized. We are nonviolent because there's no history of us carrying weapons, owning weapons on our person or in our homes. So on Friday, June 14th, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, along with the Mayor, Mayor Ford from Tuskegee, and a lot of brothers, James Steele of the SCLC, will be going from Birmingham to Selma down to Montgomery, fighting the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 5, and defending that. And when we end up in Montgomery, Alabama, we just happen to be across the street from the Southern Poverty Law Center. So it's almost like he's just not calling you out in words, but he's going to be right in front of your door. Southern Poverty Law Center, the minister, as you can see, he's not a scared man. And as you can see, tornadoes can be all around him, but he's always at peace. So I don't know what you all have backing on your side, Southern Poverty Law and ADL, but I definitely know what the minister got backing him on this side. And we already saw, if you can't even mess with Sister Ava from the webcast Sunday, you might want to sit down and raise the white flag.
Go ahead.
Love it. And, you know, the minister, as you mentioned, civil rights people, it's such a myth about the Nation of Islam, the idea that we are isolated and desolate. That reflects the desire of the enemies of our liberation that we would be desolate. But the Nation of Islam is embraced by our people from the entire across the entire spectrum and from every walk of life. The reason you don't see open demonstration of that love is the very thing that the minister is teaching right now, which is the effort of Satan to prevent the unity of black people. They know that the minister carries the word of God and his guidance and will for this hour. And so these labels, hate teacher, anti-Semite, this language is specifically designed to keep us apart. And then as he noted in The Time and What Must Be Done a few weeks back, that the enemies of our liberation, the synagogue of Satan, hold the purse string and control the finances of just about every prominent black person that you could think of in any walk of life. He is breaking that tie. And Allah has cleared the deck of any other leadership. We have no other leadership. And it was historic in and of itself that the civil rights activists and icons called upon him to come down and be with them and address the people as they do battle to preserve the gains of the 1950s and 60s struggle, which was a bloody struggle for some of the most fundamental constitutional rights that one would expect to have in the United States of America. So the fact that they called him on a conference call and they said, Farrakhan, please come down and be with us. And he said, I'll be there. And he's going. So he will be there on the 15th of June.
14th.
That's Friday, June 14th.
Yes, the 14th. And then I think 14th and, yes. That's when the actual event is on the 14th of June. And so as you said, Brother Terrence, he is not stopping. And he is, in leading into tonight's discussion, brothers, you know, he is living what he is calling upon us to do. In this time of the list of things that must be done, he is saying to us, we must cease begging for jobs.
Right.
That's right.
Now, he is not just saying that in a vacuum. When we listened to that clip earlier, if we go back and pay close attention. One of the things he just said is, let us stop this hateful sound in the ears of God. He made reference to the chapter 31 of the Holy Quran, Luqman, verse 19, which reads that the most hateful sound with God is the braying of an ass. Now, he was careful to define for us what that animal is, the ass, and the difference between the ass and the colt that Jesus referred to in Matthew. Then he says to us, to black people, that begging and being a dependent slave-like human being is a hateful sound in the ears of God. So leadership that continues to direct us into begging these people that we bled and sweated for 400 years to provide us with a job when we worked for free for four centuries and built a country. We are out of sync with time, and we are out of sync with the will of God. The only thing Satan can do at this point is to make us so offensive to God that he destroys us along with Satan. And so this is the hour to straighten up and get right and not be found engaged in behavior that is most offensive to the Creator. And when God's man tells you that what otherwise would seem innocuous, innocent, what's wrong with asking for a job? There's nothing wrong with it except it's out of time.
And that's I would add to that, Dr. Ava, is that, you know, I wonder, as the planning is been made, and I've seen some of the people that have been invited this year, I think it's August 24th, we'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. And I think it was 20 years ago at the 30th anniversary that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was invited, and he was denied the opportunity to take the stage because of those that had funded the march was going to pull the money out if they allowed him to speak. And I wonder if they will allow him to speak on the 50th anniversary of the March of Washington, Jobs and Justice, and hear his voice speak about us not, after 50 years, continuing to beg about it, but also just go and do for ourselves.
Well, yes, actually, what ultimately occurred, there was definitely great, great, great opposition from these same people. But ultimately, the light broke through, and he did speak for 6 minutes.
Right.
6 powerful minutes before, you know, they come up and stand behind you. But in those 6 minutes, he completely changed the atmosphere at the time. And as you raise, we will see this year if leadership, if black leadership is in time and on time with the will of God. We will see.
Well, if they're not talking about building a future for our children, if they're not talking about setting up businesses, if they're not talking about buying land, then they're not talking about anything. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us that one day the white man would not be able to even put his own people to work, and we would be there begging for that which does not exist. And we live in that now. So it's time now for us to stop just talking about Whitey and by getting him to do right. He's in a big bind himself. We have to think about the future of our children by us sitting down, putting our money together, backing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and save our legacy in the face of our children right now so they'll pull their pants up. Because right now they're basically pulling their pants down at us because we ain't done nothing. We marched, we sung, we shall overcome what? You know, we haven't done anything to overcome. So let us put our resources together, our heads together, let us get together as a people, do something for self, work with each other, act like every other civilized human being, and even uncivilized human beings do better than us. I mean, nobody's as stupid as the American, so-called American Negro, begging your open enemy for something that you can do for yourself. Why don't you work for yourself? You go beg for a job. Well, if you can work, then work for yourself. So Minister Farrakhan is challenging these Negroes now. Look, you just had 50 years of walking in, sitting in, praying in, lying in, and what you got? You got nothing. You're worse off. You're going in the opposite direction. You're not ever going to catch up trying to walk in the direction of trying to catch up and get along with white folks. You're falling further and further behind economically, intellectually, spiritually, morally. You're falling further and further behind. You need to turn and move in a different direction. And Minister Farrakhan offers us all that direction.
That's exactly right. And we are the callers are already queuing up. We're going to take a couple of calls and then continue this discussion. And let's have our callers weigh in. We've got Brother Bilal on the line, and he has a comment for us. Let's get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Ava. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Tanner and Dr. Rizvi.
Wa alaikum. Yes, sir.
In Pittsburgh, me and my wife have been in business now since January the 4th. We've been doing for self. We went out on faith. And I just don't understand why a whole lot of brothers and sisters keep talking about let's separate, but yet are afraid to go out and do for self. We're still waiting on a handout. As long as the Minister Farrakhan been out there fighting for us, telling us to do for self, we haven't done it. We don't support the stable goods. We don't do nothing. We're steady, you know, riding on the back of the minister. When are we going to let him go, you know, then start helping him and start pushing him back to his father where he's trying to go? So I ask everybody to start, just go out on faith, try to do something for self, you know, and watch how Allah will success, he will bless you. And I want to commend a brother here in Pittsburgh named Brother Charles X. He got his own gym. The brother was in prison for 17 years, but Allah has blessed him to open up his own gym, and he's doing well with it. So Allah will bless us all. All we got to do is go out and do it.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And you know, we, Dr. Rizzo, you and I talk about this, about the hesitation factor, and you've taught on the battered wife syndrome, and we have to understand that even as Muslim followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as nationalists, as progressives or conscious black people, this is a difficulty factor like no other. And by that I mean the process of disconnecting from the slave master, which
that's
Brother
right.
Terrence just brought up, Dr. Ridgely, about the forthcoming 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. You know, at what point do you let go? Do you realize that which you are seeking inclusion in is not workable for you? You have seen every facet of life manifest that black people and white people are never going to get along and live together in peace. Not because it was not our desire. Our parents bled and died for inclusion. They didn't bleed and die in vengeance or vindictiveness, where they came out of slavery and took up arms and tried to kill the slave master. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio raised the question in the movie Django. That's in the mind of white people. They want to know, why don't they kill us?
Right.
And this is why, as Dr. Frances Cress Welsing addressed when she was a guest on Elevated Places, they have a genetic fear of annihilation.
That's right.
And we know from Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan that their maker, Caucasian people's maker, Dr. Yaqub, built into their genetic stream complete rebellion against God. And God is the black man. All right? So there is no such thing as any merging and kumbaya. There are periods of time in history where when America has flourished economically and had enough abundance and, you know, reserves, that she could let her so-called Negro former slaves have a little breathing space. But then that comes to an end, and you're back to the reality of who these people are.
That's right.
And so we have got to, as Brother Bilal is pointing out, we have to do justice by Minister Farrakhan, and because he's doing his job, and we ours is to unite and come together.
And like Brother Bilal said, you have to go out on faith, but if you don't have no faith, you can't go out. And this is why a wife who from the outside people are looking and saying, look, you're being beat up. You know, why don't you leave? Well, it's evident that she don't have no faith that she can get a better husband and a better situation. She's stuck, and he's made her dependent on him to where she thinks that she can't do anything. So this is the way the black man and woman of America have become, is that this enemy has convinced us that we can't do without him, and so we stay there and we suffer. But, you know, some of us have been blessed to have an experience of going and doing for self and seeing that money come in without the white man's interference. And I tell you, it's a winning program. I mean, I was in a T-shirt business before I came down to the farm, and I like going out there getting that money counting that money. So we can do it if we go out on faith. It's out there. The world awakens a wide awake man. I mean, there's opportunities, but if you don't have faith in self, don't have faith in the black God, if you believe in a white God, then you are going to be subject to serving these white people.
Exactly.
This is why the Nation of Islam's theology is so important, and those of us who say we believe it, now it's time for us to show it through moving out on faith.
Yes, sir. We're going to go to the phone, and one of our favorite Elevated Places callers, Dr. Salam, is on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Risley, and Honorable Flight Lieutenant.
Alaikum.
Yes. Oh, Dr. Ava, on Sunday.
Come on.
Oh my God, sister.
Yes, sir.
Sister, I just thank Allah for you all the time. I mean, you know, when you're called to duty, you're dutiful. I mean, you deliver, sister. And I really thank you for that. I didn't get a chance to get to St. Louis. I called some of the brothers. I was on my way, but I had a mother who's 88 years old, whose blood pressure was out of whack, so I made a U-turn. But that is a wonderful facility they got there. I was there for the dedication. But, dear family, that was on Twitter. We got two tweets that I'd just like to mention. One was from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at Minister Farrakhan at Louis Farrakhan, and he said, pursue your goal and overcome the difficulty and become the master of what you seek. That was on June 4th. And then my dear brother, Brother Nuri Muhammad, at Nuri Muhammad at Nuri 1974, he said, my prayer, my sacrifice, my tweets, my Instagram, my money, my Facebook, my voice, my life, and my death is all for Allah. And that was June 3rd. All praise is due to
love
Allah.
Love it.
We have taken over Twitter. Twitter is that I got tired of counting. I think I counted 79 believers in a row.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely, other flight lieutenant, when you talk separation, how do you define separation, Dr. Ava?
Well,
in the way that we mean it.
Yes, sir. That rooted in the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and really it arose out of, as we know, questions put to him, as he said, by white people and black people. And that is, what do the Muslims want?
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of answering that question, that the primary desire is for freedom, justice, and equality. Separation is the solution, as we mean it, to the problem between black people and our former slave masters. That's what separation is. It's not a racial concept. It's actually a scientific process. And it's actually the process through which Allah, God, created the heavens and the earth. Because everything was enveloped in the darkness of space. And Allah called it out. He called out what was hidden in the darkness. And even in the book of Genesis, it bears witness that the creative process is a separation process. Because he said, let there be light, and there was light. Who was he talking to? Who was he saying to let light be? He was talking to the darkness, which was holding the light within itself. And the darkness obeyed and let the light out. And so for us to come forth back into who we truly are, there must be a separation. And all creation, the baby coming out of the womb, the baby can't come. None of us would be here if we did not at some point separate from our mother's umbilical cord. That same umbilical cord that was providing us nourishment, that womb within which we came into existence, we had to leave it in order to live. And so that's what we mean. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is saying. That's what Minister Farrakhan is saying when he says, let my people go. Let us be who we are destined to be.
Right.
We can't be that being contained in the parameters of your world. And if you persist in holding us, just like if a baby remains in the mother's womb past the 9 months and that baby's in there 10 months, 11 months, eventually the mother and the child are going to die.
Right. It's true.
Because it's against the nature of the universe that Allah created.
That's beautiful. I wanted you to define it because I couldn't have gotten close to that one. But I'm very much in tune with the inception of life. That baby, by way of a flood, is forced out of what was a temporary housing or a temporary resting place of development into a new environment. That new life has to separate from the place and from the guardian that housed it for a term. We can't be a people who have been enslaved and say we trust in Jesus and say that we trust in God, but we don't believe that the deliverer would be one of us. The slave owner is not going to free you and give you his riches that he took from you. He steals and he keeps. But this God is a mighty God, and there has to be a muezzin. It has to be a caller that will call us out of the darkness. And that man is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's anointed with fidelity and faithfulness to the man that raised him from the dead. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. And I just, sister, I wish you was there every Sunday. I mean, this was beautiful. And Dr. Risley, I'm going to try to see you soon. I won't be on any special aircraft or anything, but I'm going to try to drive to see you over the next 6 weeks.
Okay, brother, when you get here, I have a brand new hoe for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll be a diligent worker. And, brother Flight Lieutenant, I got your letter. I'm going to go ahead and recite the two Flight Lieutenant baby plane general orders that you wanted me to do. I was your first convert. I want you to listen to my recital, okay? All right. I will guard the baby plane and all of Brother Terrence's property on post. I will walk that post in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert.
Go ahead,
thank you, family. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. He is just such a beautiful person.
He's funny.
Yes.
You know, and another part I like to add to that separation is there's two parts of separation. One is to separate out of the womb, and the other is to come together. Because the baby has to be, the parts have to be together, has to be working in harmony. So we have to develop a relationship with each other so that we can survive. And this is what the enemy has done, especially over the last 25 or 30 years. I just heard somebody make a statement today, talking to somebody else on the phone. They said, well, they went to Colorado, and they stayed there for a year. You know, now they're moving back to so-and-so. Over the last 25 or 30 years, the system has had us going from pillar to post, running after that carrier, running after that job. And whenever you go to this new area, you don't know anybody except the job, the corporation you're working for. And by the time... then you got to move someplace else. So now you out there, you don't have no connections. And by the time you rather retire, you got no place to retire to. You don't know where your family is. You got no friends and family. You lost everybody. So we need to come together physically and start working together in groups right there in your own community, right there in your own town. Start coming together with like minds to develop a body so the body can come forth, because we cannot come forth as independent people individually. We got to come forth as a group that can feed, clothe, and house one another, that can buy one another's products, that can support one another. We have to start finding groups of people that we can work together, and then legally you can just put your money together and buy any piece or part of America and set up what you want in America without even changing any law. It's already there. The law that has to be changed is the law of inertia in our own self.
That is so necessary and beautiful. I love that about the constant movement. And, you know, we're warned in Scripture that in the end, the devil would make water seem like fire and fire seem like water.
Come on.
And it seems so unattractive and undesirable to be told, just stay where you are. And
right.
What we have determined with the white man's training about ourselves is a losing proposition. He makes it seem like a good thing that we move every 2 years, you know?
Right.
And that we run to and fro. And as you just said so beautifully, it uproots you from family.
Right. See,
when they saw what family does for us,
mm-hmm.
in that period that the research team writes about so beautifully, from 1877 and the horrific compromise that resulted in the federal troops withdrawing from the Reconstruction South and really allowing Southern whites to revert back to a slavery system through what they named sharecropping, which was really simply a return to the plantation. And when they saw how, through family, we survived that horrific period, and it was family that allowed us to successfully, 6 million of us, come out of the South.
Well,
and it actually changed the economic landscape of the United States of America. When 6 million black people left the South and moved north, and they said, you know, we got to bust up this family unit because that's what's making them have progress no matter what we do. They make progress.
That's right. And then when
and like you said, that has been the focus now, is breaking up our sense of stability and a support system.
And when we came up to those cities, because of segregation and racism, we were forced to live together.
And do business with each other.
I remember when I was a little boy, once I was in North Carolina, we had a safe bus company and two cab companies. We had our own hospital, many schools, you know. So restaurants, movie houses, we had these things, but now we have nothing. And the Negroes who bought into this trick of integration still want to sing this song because they don't want to admit that we as a people made a big, big, big mistake. And now we have got to catch up, but they don't want to admit that we made a mistake and we need to do for self. I call it, we're going to have to do volunteer segregation. Separation, volunteer segregation. In case you don't understand what separation is, that's volunteer segregation. Volunteer to be with self, do for self, with self, and leave the other folks alone.
And be in control of self.
And be in control,
because
that's right.
As you said, this whole idea of being the absurdity of resisting separation when 98% of black and white people in America live with themselves.
That's right.
98% of us primarily interact with our own race.
That's right.
See, this whole crazy Hollywood manufactured world on television that gives this false appearance that America is integrated. There's nothing more unlike reality than the reality shows on television.
That's right.
Sitcoms and movies where black and white are integrated and smiling and laughing and loving one another. That world does not exist. That's an aberration of the reality. What we're going to do now, we're going to go to a short commercial break. And then we're going to come back and go to the phones. We got a lot of callers that want to weigh in on this powerful discussion. So we will be right back.
So I want you to receive Brother DeBrio and what he has to say to you. I don't know what he's going to say. I didn't ask him. But I know he is a man who has studied the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the words of Islam from both the Quran and the Bible. And I think he knows me better than most.
For more information or to order authorized lectures and seminars by Brother Jibril Muhammad, call 719-581-2136. That number again is 719-581-2136. Or email bjmhmd2000@earthlink.net.
Welcome back to Elevated Places. I'm your host, Ava Muhammad. I'm with my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and the Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. We are discussing tonight excerpts from The Time and What Must Be Done, Episode 21, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the fact that seeking jobs is out of time, it is out of season, and therefore it is out of sync with the will of God, and we're not going to find success in it. And so we are having a great conversation. And we're going to go to the phones at this moment and take a couple of calls. We have another wonderful caller that we are very, very blessed to receive this evening, Brother Lewis. And he has both a comment and a question. Welcome, Brother Lewis. Welcome back.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Abel.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you,
Brother Terrence.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Brother Lewis, for promoting Elevated Places in such a wonderful, diligent manner.
Oh, God, the honor is all mine. I want to tell you, Sister Ava Muhammad, these fireside chats remind me so much of my grandmother from Mississippi, who would tell us about the fireside chats and the value of the dinner table and what black people would talk about around the fireside and what they would do at the dinner table. Much of the conversation would deal with race and economics. And because of integration, we've gotten so far away from that, and I think that Elevated Places is a place that is helping us all learn and tune up, because we get to hear you all each week, and it really motivates us throughout the week. I wanted to make a comment about Minister Farrakhan, the time and what must be done, part 19. I've been thinking about this for a while, but I want to see what you all think about it, because on part 19, Minister Farrakhan said that Satan knows that when people know him, and he's talking about revealing Satan, that people are not going to love him.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows that people are going to dislike him. And then the minister says this. He says, and some will even hate him in falling away, but no one's going to like him. And it's really interesting because Minister Farrakhan has asked these Negroes, or I should say need to grow up from being beggars and need to grow up from hanging around, lapping up to white folk. But he's asked them to stand down.
Right.
And he also said that if they didn't do it, he said that if you become an apologist for them, meaning the enemy, our people and the masses of our people will see you as a modern Uncle Tom who believes that you owe more to them than the masses of our suffering people. And if you attack me at their insistence, you will be seen as an enemy to the rise of our people. And it's really interesting because when I hear stuff like that, and I go and people send me, you know, information about how Bobby Seale is saying that Minister Farrakhan needs to stop all of this Jewish stuff and just focus on economics. And I see people like John Conyers, a victim of integration, but still he's doing what he's doing. There's a point where some of us who love the minister, we ain't trying to pray for John Conyers or Bobby Seale. We feel about them the same way Mike Tyson felt about Larry Holmes when he'd gone beyond his time. So he had to go knock him out in order to get the belt.
Yes.
You know, this is how you – now, if you look in the newspaper, Europe is being swept with floods as we speak.
Right.
And every time God hits them, it seems like some of us, we must not know what we're looking at. God is doing this to them in order to free us. So we should be saying to me, our God is great, and thanking God that he's separating us. And in closing, and just the last little thing that I want to say, because I want to ask a question, is that, you know, we really got to be real serious about where we're going with this. And the ADL is doing something that I think that we should start doing that's really good. They love to have the Farrakhan litmus test. But to me, we should be the ones doing the Farrakhan litmus test.
That's
if
right.
you are a Negro
right.
and you do not want to be with Minister Farrakhan in separating from our enemy and you fail the Farrakhan litmus test, then we don't have nothing for you but fire.
Exactly.
And you can go and do whatever you want to do, but you can't stand up in front of us and we take a vow of silence and not check you no more. That's over with. And that may have worked because they were supposed to have 6,000 years to rule, and it wouldn't have been a popular thing to be you know, some of our grandparents down in Mississippi and Louisiana, if they heard you talking against the white man, some of them might slap you down because they wanted to keep you alive. But as Dr. Ridgely says, God is with us now. Our God is not the white man God, and he's here to separate us from them. And so I believe and would like to see if you all would be interested, maybe we should form a Farrakhan litmus test for real. And all of those who want to be not with Farrakhan, we don't want to be with them. We don't even want to waste time. If they come, I don't want my children taking pictures with them and laughing and giggling with them, because in my house, the heroes are Dr. Ava Muhammad's on the wall, Dr. Ridgely's on the wall, and I'm trying to reconstruct who my children see as heroes and tear down these false idols that the devil puts up. And so I just wanted to thank y'all and really enjoying the show and hoping to see you soon, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes, sir.
All right. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, Brother Lewis. Thank you. Excellent observation.
Well, you know, the situation with John Conyers and the ADL is perfect demonstration of what's been going on in the black community for years, ever since we come out of slavery. And that is that when someone stands up to appreciate or stand up for another black person, here comes the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, these people who claim to be our friends, these Jews who claim to support the civil rights movement and claim to be our friends, here they come, go tell John Conyers, look, you know, you smiled at the wrong time.
Right.
I saw you stand up. So, you know, and then he turns against the minister after he praises the minister. 5 days later, he turns against the minister. We know who did it. It was the ADL. He didn't have no epiphany. He didn't have no dream. These white folks came and knocked on his door, basically, and then told him he needed to denounce the minister. He did it, and then they came right back and said, well, we don't even accept that. You didn't do it good enough. So
that's
like,
right. We don't believe you.
We don't believe you. So you cannot bow down to these people. And these people are not our friends. People say, why y'all keep talking about the Jews? Why y'all leave them alone? Well, because they lied to us. Because they misled us, because they made us think that they was our friends. That's why. We knew the white people, the redneck, you can call them redneck crackers and call them all them names. You say, oh, yeah, they don't like black folks. Yeah, but we thought these white Jews liked us. They tricked us. So now we got to expose them to the world. Not only did they trick black people, but now Mr. Farrakhan is showing white people, the Gentiles, that they trick you. They talk about Jesus in a terrible way. Plus, they took over your money. They print your money, and you paying interest on your own money, sucker. The Federal Reserve, the IRS, the FBI, the ADL, they done rip you, white boy. What you going to do, man? You just taking everything from you. Do you know that a dollar at 6% interest for 100 years is $35,000? 6% interest compounded yearly on $1 amounts to $35,000, so it's no surprise. At 100 years after the founding of the Federal Reserve, we've moved up from owing in this country millions of dollars to owing trillions of dollars. And who do you think you own it to? You own it to the families that own the Federal Reserve.
That's right.
What you going to do, white boy? Mr. Farrakhan is standing up against the Federal Reserve. So what you going to do, white boy? You going to let them continue to punk you? So, yeah, we're talking about the people who call themselves Jews. And the reason that the Jews are thrown out of every country is not because of their Jewishness, it's because they extract usury. They extract interest.
Exactly.
They destroy a country by exorbitant interest and taking the wealth of the country through stealth. And when the people find it out, they throw them out.
That's right. And this is why the response to Bobby Seale, and I'm glad Brother Lewis shared that he's saying, as one of the pawns, that the minister defined and explained in a chess game, the so-called Negro is a pawn. You're allowing yourself to be moved around by this chess player who's in opposition to your creator. See, when you say, well, stop all this Jew stuff and talk about economics, you can't have a real discussion of economics and not talk about the ones who manufactured this entire economic paradigm that
go
you
ahead,
just beautifully laid out. Then we're having a useless conversation because we've been talking about it up to now without including them, because everyone was afraid to mention it. The saying they have, the elephant in the room, no one wanted to say it. So Farrakhan is saying it, and he's saying it in a way that even someone who is slow on the uptake can comprehend it. And
that's
as you said, both black and white are being made to see how we have been used and abused and made a fool of. And so, yes, he's talking about the Jews, only because of what they have done. Not
That's
because
right.
we're just, we don't hate anybody. We don't hate them. We
That's
just
right.
want to get away from them.
That's
all.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up, Dr. Ava, just on this point, I think someone had brought up recently that the devil does not want to be revealed. One of the things I failed to mention in our opening, you know, as we're watching this whole discussion and as we're seeing what's going on, you know, and as I was talking about this showdown in the USA Today, and I'm not sure, I know people probably have heard it, that the National Security Agency, the NSA and the FBI are subpoenaing personal data from the main computer service.
Right.
And some of the agencies there are subpoenaing or grabbing data from the service of Yahoo, Google, Facebook, AOL, Skype, YouTube,
right.
and Apple. And I say that in the midst of this Twitter army that the minister has going and the YouTube videos that the minister has going, is now that as we're waiting to see what the enemy is going to do, they are staging the platform, as we talked last week, what would be considered, I forgot what it was, what kind of conversation it would be on Facebook that would be deemed inappropriate, so it won't be on Facebook. Hate speech. And so now, looking at the USA Today, they're going to start following, tracking, and subpoenaing, you know, data so they can see who's supporting Farrakhan. So as the brother said, let's see who has a litmus test. They're going to actually see who's tweeting, who's down with Farrakhan. So this is not a day, as Minister Farrakhan said, to be scared. This is not a day that you want to tuck your head between your tails and run the other way. This is a day that you want to stand up. And the issue and the situation with John Conyers was a beautiful situation for us to see that don't punk out to your enemy, because your enemy will not love you anyway. Your
right.
enemy does not love anyone that does not love themselves and who betray their own people for love of them when you know that they don't love you.
And Minister, you were telling me something about what happened, your experience when you was in the prosecution office in New York, about how
you spoke right into my thought, that when I was an assistant prosecutor in New York City, and we worked with the police department, and in many cases, the way to track and catch people that were charged with criminal activity was through what they called confidential informants. You know, people that are actually intimate and friendly. And in the mind of the target of the police, that person sees them as a friend. They might even be a family member. And they are giving law enforcement information on that person. They're either doing it for money or they do it to get themselves out of trouble, since we're all sinners. But at the end of the day, the police and law enforcement, they detest informants. They can't
That's
stand
right.
They hate them.
Mm,
but they're necessary. They need them in order to get a pass to the door of who it is they are after. But you're exactly right, Dr. Rizzi and Brother Terrence. You know, and I said this on Sunday. See, there's no upside. There's no value in negotiating with the enemy. And what happened with John Conyers, we'll all get our day. We'll all get our day. Because
That's right.
he's trying to hold on to what he values, which is political stature. And this is somebody that has been fighting for our people before most
right.
of us were born.
Yes.
You know, so if he can go down like that, it could happen to any of us. And so
right.
you have to actually pray to Allah that if they're going to come after Farrakhan, don't let me be the door. Make
right.
them go another way. And look, when the minister warned them, as I read that letter Sunday to the audience, and Brother, I think Brother Lewis was just reading from it, the stand-down letter that Brother Terrence is the one that brought it back up to mind in the first place. You know, know, he said in the letter in 2010, he implored them. Because, see, he knew he was on his way to this confrontation. He didn't know it necessarily with precision, with his intellect, but his spirit, his desire to do the will of God and his Christ, knew he was being led to this point inevitably. So he was saying to the so-called Negroes, stand down. I know you're scared.
Right. Go ahead.
You know, I know you can't do this. I'm not asking you to go with me. I'm asking you to get out of the way.
That's all.
You know, stop playing the role of a pit bull, attack dog. As Dr. Rizzi says, the sheep dog circling the sheep. Get out the way and force the shepherd to come out.
That's all
he asked them to do, and they're not doing that. And so eventually the minister says, and Brother Lewis brought it up, you know, we have to get in this. And that's why I said, you know, there's no way I can go out here and represent the nation and not at least make reference to that. Because as all of you are saying, that was a powerful illustration, a real-life lesson of what happens to you. Because for the devil, first of all, you're going to front me like that?
Right.
You're going to front me, you know, and come out and publicly say, as you pointed out, Dr. Rizzi, you know, you loved the speech. You didn't have some epiphany. The minister could take your criticism if it was from you. He didn't say, don't attack me. He didn't even say that. He said, don't let them use you to attack me. See, if you feel that I'm godless or you got a problem with Islam, then as a man or a woman, you're entitled to feel that.
That's right.
But to come out against your own family at the behest of an enemy?
Right.
Who has shown you nothing but contempt and has robbed you of what God has given you, lives off of you, sucks your blood.
Come on.
And then they come out, they don't say, well, John, we want to talk to you, let's have dinner. No, they go on the internet. They come out in their publications. We are deeply disappointed in Detroit's leadership that you met with Farrakhan. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Michelle Obama said, I am not good at this. I am not good at no white people telling me or my brothers and sisters that you're disappointed. I don't give a damn about you being disappointed.
That's
with all the dead bodies in the ground and burned to a crisp at your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And because this man stands up and in the most beautiful way possible tells the truth and offers you a way out.
Right.
Offers you a way out after all of this if you would but submit. And you're going to talk like this is 1852? You nodded your head in agreement with Farrakhan. So you're sitting up watching a video, analyzing it frame by frame.
Come on.
Look, when Farrakhan said synagogue of Satan, he applauded.
Right.
So then you walk him down Front Street, and instead of you saying, which the minister gave them the words, you know, in that day, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. He told them to say to the Jews, why don't you go and talk to him yourself?
That's right.
He didn't tell you to fight him. He just said, look, with all due respect, you know, this man is a bona fide leader in my community.
Right.
He's black like me, in case you haven't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see you all turning Rush Limbaugh out. I don't see you speaking out about the Tea Party. You know, when the Tea Party starts talking about niggas and all this, you say, oh, they're just angry. So why don't y'all just say, us angry.
Right.
Everybody don't want to eat dinner with you. Some of our people remember what you did and what you're doing.
Right.
He's upset, and so are a lot of our people. So why don't you go and talk? Talk to them yourself. No, you're going to come out, and as you said, Dr. Ridge, you didn't have no epiphany, and Sister Claudette Muhammad wrote him in a letter. You loved the speech until the ADL rebuked you days later.
Right. Come on. That's right.
What is wrong with you? This is not who you are.
That's right.
So then you come out and kiss their behind, then they call you a liar and a hypocrite.
Come on.
See, that's the devil. I had no authority over you. I only called you.
That's right.
That's right.
You hypocrite. If Farrakhan can't trust you, how can we trust you?
Come on.
Unbelievable.
And that, just a public service announcement, don't forget to tweet Dr. Ava Muhammad at Dr. Ava Muhammad and go to avaspeaks.com to hear more of these fiery, spirited lectures with precision. And I say that as I laugh is because the nature in which our audience just heard your spirit is the nature of the queen of the planet Earth, one of the books that you have. Mother of civilization, that when she sees righteousness or she sees the attack of a child or a baby or that one who is righteous, the woman has always come into defense. As we see in the day and the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, it was the women that was there with him on a cross that stood by his side. So I see the spirit coming up, and I think people need to go and not only hear the lecture, because not only did you teach from a Quranic, biblical, but you are also an attorney. So you're very skilled in the argument, but skilled with the truth to defend Minister Farrakhan. And as you said, Negroes stand to the side, but as they stand to the side, we, those that believe and know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is telling the truth and he does represent God, then we need to represent him to the people and let them know that you should come here, Minister Farrakhan, and listen to the time and what must be done. And those that are standing as yourself representing this divine truth given to him by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because we're in that time and we're at that day, and we don't want to be found as the clock click goes off three times, found denying the man who gave us life, the man who stood for us. And if you can't stand and your knees are weak, just sit down. Just don't get in the
that's
way
all.
Of him. That's all we ask. You ain't got to get up. Just
don't
stand down and be quiet.
Yeah. That's all. I can't even imagine a more grace and mercy. But we've got Sister Adama, who has been on the line for quite some time, so we want to get her on the air. And let's open up her mic. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Adama.
Walaikum salam, Dr. Ava. I am so glad to be able to speak with you. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Alaikum salam, beloved.
I just have a comment or a question regarding how we as black people and as Muslims in general deal on the market. And in dealing on the market, promoting the stock market for how we purchase items on the market, and how can we get out of doing this, because this is what's upholding America right now, is how we intertwine our purchases, our clothing and trinkets and things of such on the market. So how can we get away from that? Because we're upholding the stock market at this time, and that's what's keeping America going, though the dollar isn't worth a nickel right now. So what can we do, and how can we interact together to stop this?
That sounds like you, Dr. Ridgely.
You already know how it's coming.
Well, you know, a couple things. Number one, Mr. Farrakhan said, take your money and get a cookie jar. Okay? and you start putting your money away, if it's less than 35 cents a week, well, you know, we can do better than that. So instead of trying to invest your money into the stock market thinking that you're going to get rich and get a big return, you're only going to be suckered. They're going to sucker people into the stock market and take them again. So, no, put your money to the side, save it yourself, and then get together with a group and invest in yourself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to pool your resources. Pool your resources. So sending some of your resources to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Economic Development Program, the Three Economic Savings Program, et cetera, and then take your money and pool your resources, find out who you have right there in your local community, your local mosques and study groups, and start setting up businesses. Invest in yourself. I mean, if you're going to lose money with white folks, you take a chance on losing money with self. It's the same money, but it will turn around within your own community if you start taking it and use it for yourself. And then it requires each of us to start developing skills so we can make a living. So how can people invest in you if you don't have any skills by which you can produce a product or a service by which you can be invested in? So now it requires each of us to find out our gift and put those gifts to work and get people to invest in your gift, and then you turn around and invest in them. So this is why I said about coming together as a group. Come together so you can find out who you are and where we all fit and how we can help one another. But no, take your money out the stock market. Take your money out the 401k because they're sucking people in just to take it down again. But the Minister Farrakhan has given us the economic blueprint, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to follow. So all we have to do is listen to him and follow that blueprint.
Okay, and I thank you. I thank you. And I just have one other part to add to that. Is there a way, do we have an open door where we can actually do trade and commerce so that we can build and purchase our own and build our own, tables and chairs rather than buy from the market? And I know we're doing our own clothes, but we need more. We need more because the brothers are wearing suits. Do we have an open door for fabrics to some of the our Muslim countries or our neighboring countries who are with the minister or who doesn't do as much business with America so that we can stop purchasing our household items and things from the market? This is what also pushes the stock market.
Well, we first have got to organize ourselves. Now, this is the Staple Goods Project 5 that we're involved with right now. What city are you in?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and I've purchased from every Staple Goods project as it's come along.
That's the beginning step because we can add now this new one. You see, this, now we've added the coffee, the Mexican coffee. Each time we do it, we can add another product as we find products that we produce and people who want the products. This is a beginning step, step by step, of us developing a market amongst ourselves and then bringing in products from ourselves to distribute. So it's a step-by-step process. And we thank you for participating, and we want everybody to participate and go to NOIMOA.com, and you can see the Staple Goods Project and how it works. We're at the end of this one, but we're going to have another, inshallah, in the future. But it's step-by-step, step-by-step. And as we have seen the Savior's Day, get the cards for those people at Savior's Day. Figure out a way to support the people that you see at Savior's Day in the rest of the year so
yes,
that we can
right.
begin to build this market.
Thank you. Thank you. And
Assalamu
alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you for that call. Beautiful. We've got Brother Hoyle is on. He's got a comment. We're coming down towards the end of the stretch. And this is a great, great conversation, all emanating from the guidance given by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Brother Hoyle, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum salam to alaikum salam to you, Sister Ava, Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Terrence. Beautiful subject, beautiful. I want to congratulate you, Sister, on the beautiful job you did Sunday. And
thank you, sir.
Excellent, excellent. I was blown away. Sister, you said, the minister said, it's better to teach separation than prayer, you know.
Yes.
And Dr. Ridgely brought up so many good things, of, you know, how we can just start with just small products. I even tell brothers and sisters, you know, we have our staples, bean pies, you know, fruit, clothes. You know, just start with something small with the 3-year economic program. I was, you know, the minister was saying to us Tuesday, you know, that we have to be steadfast in this hour, you know, and this is, a bad time for us, you know, to be afraid and asleep, you know, because this is, you know, a dark hour. I just want to read something from the time and what needs to be done, you know, and this is perfect with this new paper. It says, builders, not beggars. And it says, it's interesting that the donkey is a symbol of the Democratic Party, and we are tied to that party. And maybe we need to be untied, for we are like the ass. We are less intelligent than the colt, and we are acting very foolishly, even sometimes stupid, begging for a job, begging for this, begging for that. And this is the sound of an ass. And this is in the Holy Quran, Surah 31, Luqman, verse 19. It says, the most hateful sound of God is the braying of an ass. When you cry out begging, give me a job, give me justice, instead of saying in a determined voice, let me go. And, you know, this is so beautiful. But we're going to support you. Dr. Ridgely, I got that the email, the internet, .com for that step-by-step thing. I love this information. But thank you, Sister Ava, and we'll keep listening.
Yes, sir.
And support the time and what must be done and elevated places. As-salamu alaykum, and good job, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. And brother just read again from the excerpt we played at the opening, and I'm so glad he zeroed in on it because it can't be overemphasized that begging for a job is simply out of time. You're not being condemned, black people, for doing this. What we're sharing with you is the futility of it.
That's right.
You know, it's just, why waste your energy and your lifeblood going after something that is never going to come close to yielding what you think it is? It's just not going to happen. I want to get to Sister, we have a Sister Sharita, who has been on for quite some time. Sister Sharita, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Beautiful, beautiful show. So inspiring, so electrifying. I did hear you, beloved. I want to say greetings to all the sisters and brothers who are online. But, you know, I did get to hear you on Sunday, beautiful sister, and I'm still charged up by it. And after this call, I think I'll go back and listen to it again because I think about the state of mind that we have to be in now, you know, and I believe you did a tweet or a Facebook post tweet, I believe it was tweet, where you said that the type of mind that we have to have, or we have to think like a God in order for us to come up out of this type of situation. We can't be afraid. And I also thought about what the brother was talking about the Farrakhan litmus test. Well, I'm here to say I have a Farrakhan litmus test.
Okay.
You know, this is a man that saved my life. You know, and today, and the brother was talking about the internet and how the government is tapping in and Facebook and what they're doing, but Verizon is also doing this.
Verizon is
taking the information and the calls. They're saying they're not listening to the calls, but they're just gathering up the data. Well, I have Verizon, and I told them today, talking to a sister, look, what you claim we are not. We're not haters, but we have proof that you're the hater. And I'm just so tired. If we don't live for this, then what do we live for? What do our children? Another brother was talking about our children with their pants sagging. Maybe they're telling us something because we have, you know, at some point in time, we're going to live for this, you know. Or I just can't see living any other way than what I have today. Praise the Lord. I'd rather not live if I can't be free and be who I am and who God made me to be. You know, and I know this because of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I, too, have a litmus test, and it's just the way it is. I choose. I don't need you to choose my leader today. I am free. I know who I am. And I just want you to know that we don't need anyone. We are capable of choosing and our own leaders. You know, and one thing is, he will not bow down. He will not lay down. He doesn't scratch where he doesn't itch, and neither should we. You know, and
that's
our
right.
children are looking to us. If I die today or tomorrow, you know, I just kind of like could kind of tell you what my children would say and probably what they would do. You know, and so I thank Allah. I thank Allah for you, Sister Ava, because, you know, we love you, sister, because I know, I remember the many times, even before coming into the nation, listening to you, sister, being an example for us. So I say all praise is due to Allah. One more thing I wanted to say. Brother Ridley, you were talking about, Dr. Ridley, you were talking about the woman and the man, you know, this abusive relationship that takes place. My brother, may Allah be pleased with him, used to call it the doorway loving. You know how you keep hitting your head at the same door, and you're still in love, but you keep hitting yourself, and you're hurting yourself, and you're constantly doing it, and the door doesn't love you, but you keep trying to get back in it. And the same thing with this relationship. Now, we're not haters, but when do we stop begging?
Hey.
I say stand down to all them. Stand down. Get out of the way. You don't want to go with us, then stay there.
Right.
Don't don't hinder us.
That's right.
Because we are free. Thank you, Sister Ava. Thank you, Dr. Ridley. Thank you, Brother Terrence. Thank you, Allah. You know, I'm just so grateful. I'm telling you, one day, and one more thing, depressing. You know, Sister Ava, you talked about being depressed. You know, it's a form of ingratitude. And I thought about this one day. You know, if you just started, we just started to count our blessings, we would be so charged up. And you said that too, but that's a process. We have to, you can't have a slave mind. You can't, you know, you just got to, you got to just be who you are. We are gods and goddesses now that we know that we are that. So I'm not going to take too much time, but I thank you so much, Sister Ava.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Well, we're really, the beautiful call, we're down to about 4 minutes, and we've had Sister Najima has been on over a half, so I got to let her get a couple words in here. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Najima.
Wa alaikum salam. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll be really quick. I had a question. My name is Najla. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm a third-year medical student. And I'm just wondering, as we speak about separation, how are we going to incorporate bringing on medicine along with that? Because I feel like that's my passion. That's what Allah put me on here, to be a healer to our people. And I want us to have a positive attitude towards medicine, because it is our craft. We created medicine. We're the owners, the rightful owners of it. So I want us to, how do we change that attitude within a nation to bring medicine into that state of separation? Because I believe it will come with us.
Oh, it has to. I mean, you just said it perfectly. We're the fathers and mothers of healing. What has happened in Western Caucasian dominated society is that now what used to be medicine has been converted into licensed drug dealing.
That's right.
Yes. Pharmaceutical companies are behind the medical profession, and one day we'll do a show on that, of how they took over, because
even in
America, they used to practice homeopathic medicine. And before that, they used herbs and food, and as medicine teaches them how to eat to live. And so, no, we will always have medicine. It's just what medicine consists of. And and so we will always need healers, physicians, and people who are devoted to the study of maintaining optimum health. It's just the manner in which we do it and how it's used. We're not going to live in a society where black men are injected with syphilis.
Right.
Okay, so that a drug can be tested.
Right.
So that's going to be the difference. But no, we need doctors.
well, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, when in the 70s, when he had a vision of what he wanted, one of the first things he wanted was a hospital. So we ought to have our own doctors demand our own hospital.
Hey, thank you. Yes. Yes. And thank you so much, Sister Najima, for that call. And you keep studying and becoming a scientist, because we will have great need for you. And thank you to the Elevated Places team, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, our IT specialist, our program coordinator, Sister Rona Muhammad, our announcer and researcher, Brother Bobby Muhammad, and, of course, Dr. Ridley Muhammad, who is our contributor, analyst, and my co-host, Terrence Muhammad, and, of course, the listeners, without whom we would not have a program. We thank you all, and may Allah continue to bless us with love and the light of understanding. And inshallah, we'll be back on next week. Hopefully we will have as our guest Dr. Wesley Muhammad. Thank you all for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.